You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Friday morning, September the 20th of 2024, 67 degrees under still mostly cloudy skies here in downtown Wausau at our 98.9 WXCO studios at the corner of Washington Street and North 3rd Street. I am Chad Holmes. It is the final hour of the work week for the Chad Holmes Show here on 98.9 WXCO, online at BowFallsRadio.com, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. Again, you can also join us by tuning in on our Facebook.com stream. Go to 98.9 WXCO, then be able to click on it and see us. No bells or whistles, though. We need some bells and whistles, I think, maybe.
Yeah.
But nevertheless.
A little fancy.
Yeah, but nevertheless, you can make your comments and questions as well. You can also join us by calling or texting at 715-382-9297. That's 715-382-9297 to let us know what's on your mind here on the program here as we wrap up the work week. Coming up, we will have Paul Miklik joining us talking Wisconsin sports as he does every Friday morning starting at 9:20. Also wanted to let folks know that tomorrow, again, another edition of the Wausau Business Show. The Wausau Business Show, of course, every Friday morning from every Saturday morning from 8 until 9 a.m. And really been catching on. Lots of great response about what the business show brings here to WXCO, and very happy to bring it to you every week. I saw what they have coming up here tomorrow. I want to let you know here, because last week they had a very special show with Melissa Langbin on the program, and I know a lot of folks enjoy that. But tomorrow, and it's actually a little bit of a connection towards myself, they will be, again, my family. They'll be talking to Pam Jackson, who is the Chief Executive Officer of the B.A. and Esther Greenheck Foundation, also the granddaughter of Bernie and Esther Greenheck of Greenheck Fan. My dad worked for Greenheck for many, many years, and it was a very good company to work for. They've done so much here in central Wisconsin, so I think it'll be a very interesting discussion tomorrow from 8 till 9 on the Wausau Business Show.
Nice.
They will also give you a chance to win tickets to see Ben Folds at the Grand Theater.
Oh.
So that's coming up on Tuesday, October the 8th. So really another big show coming up, the Wausau Business Show tomorrow morning from 8 until 9 a.m. right here on 98.9 WXCO, BowFallsRadio.com, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. And you can also, if you miss it at 8 in the morning, it'll be put up as a podcast. You're able to go to BowFallsRadio.com, click on shows, go to CivicMedia.com, click on shows, find the Wausau Business Show. It's also on Spotify and Apple Podcasts as well. And also this show is. Hey, if you like what we're doing, you can subscribe on Spotify and on Apple Podcasts as well. And also tomorrow after the Wausau Business Show, I will be here. Ian will be here.
Yep.
Sully will be here. He'll be sitting across from me. Sully's college football page We'll go over the carnage of last week's Badger loss to Alabama. We'll talk about the Big Ten, college football, and a whole bunch more. Take you right up to kickoff from 9 to 11 a.m. Sully's College Football page tomorrow here on 98.9 WXCO.
At least it was a good tailgate party.
Yes, it was. And it was a beautiful day. Yes, it was
even
a lot of sunshine.
The game was a wash. At least people have fun partying.
That's it. Partying. And have you ever been to a game at Camp Randall Stadium?
I have, actually. My whole family has. That was a few years ago, and that was pretty cool. Because we got to actually got to walk behind the Wisconsin marching band as they were heading to the stadium from the city of Madison. We got a nice little performance of that, and we got pretty good seats. I think I don't remember exactly what game it was, but I think they won.
Very good.
That's pretty awesome because every time that they would do first and 10 Wisconsin, everybody in the fan would echo back, first and 10 Wisconsin.
Back in the late 80s, early 90s, I graduated high school in 89, and a friend of mine went to Madison to go to school. And I went to Eau Claire, and I would sometimes come down and we'd go to Badger games. And this was like before they were sold out. This was back when they weren't doing that well, and just when Barry Alvarez was coming on board. So we'll go to games, and it'll be only like 45,000 or 50,000 there, so there's plenty of room to move around. Mm-hmm. And I remember this one game, they were playing Minnesota for the Paul Bunyan Axe. Went to the game, and it was, you know, neither team was doing all that great, and we're just walking around, and we ended up down near the field where the cheerleaders were for the, I think it was the Minnesota cheerleaders. Okay. And they're doing these little flips and all that stuff. And one of the girls was flipped up and landed. They dropped her and hit on the ground.
Oh,
and I couldn't believe it. She got up and started jumping around like nothing happened. It was insane.
Well, that's how you bounce.
I know.
Back, I guess, but
it was like, I don't know how she did it.
Scary.
I mean, it's like she got dropped and just jumped up and was smiling and jumping around like the cheerleaders always do. That's something I'll never forget. It's like,
shake it off.
Shake it off is exactly right. So let's properly introduce the voice you're just hearing, Ian Welsh. Ian, good morning.
Good morning, Chad.
I got to bring something up because I was cruising around on Facebook looking at social media postings yesterday. And popping up was a posting from the Wausau Community Theater.
And it said,
we'd like to introduce Elena Larson and Ian Welsh, who will be performing for a Night at the Cabaret fundraiser gala benefiting the Wausau Community Theater. Apparently, this is coming up on October the 18th.
Yep.
A Night at the Cabaret fundraiser gala. What will Ian Welsh be doing at the cabaret?
Well, I don't want to give too much away because I kind of want it to be a surprise, but I will be performing a solo from kind of a show that's been around pretty recently, but the song I chose from the show is actually a very powerful and very emotional song that fits with my vocal range, and it'll definitely be a powerful performance. That's all I'm going to say about it. I won't spoil too much.
But this evening, it's going to be on the 18th of October. Mm-hmm. It is going to be at the Great Dane. It's going to be a dinner. It says...
There's a lot of other...
Yeah, it says doors open at 6, dinner served at 6:30.
Mm-hmm.
Then performances, live performances. It's going to be a silent auction, a cash bar, raffle, and more.
Oh, yeah.
Sounds like there's going to be a lot of stuff going on at the Great Dance. It's a great place, too. I've been there a number of times.
Lots of great performances. It's not just me. There's...
You're saying you're not the only great performance?
I'm one of the great performances. Okay. But there's so many other great performances. Along with the solos and duets, all of the performers itself will be involved in a opening a large group, a number, featuring a... set to the song "We'll Come In" from a cabaret.
Right. What a great show.
Oh yes. It's going to be a lot of fun, and it'll be here before you know it. So as soon as center stage is over, I'll be involved with another a performance. Thankfully, these rehearsals are only on Sundays, so it's a little more flexible on my schedule.
Right. So again, and it also is, it's for a great cause. Again,
oh yes, helps to raise money for WCHT, who has been struggling recently, but.
Because you're bringing in the big crowds, the last couple of shows they're doing a little bit better, right? People coming to pay to see Ian Welsh on stage.
Absolutely. Every little bit helps to get WCT off the ground, and I don't want to give too much away.
No.
I don't know exactly when, but pretty soon WCT will be announcing their new season.
That's all I can say
about that.
We're going to get some non-musicals for people like me?
You never know.
I know. The musicals are terrific. They are. But sometimes I like to
see nothing wrong with doing plays.
A good comedy play or a good drama play. Uh-huh. There's so many great ones out there. So I'm just one of those guys that enjoys those from time to time as well.
Yeah.
So again, in addition to seeing Ian coming up next Friday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, have a chance to see him on Friday night, October the 18th. And if you go to the Wausau Community Theater page, wausaucommunitytheater.org, or to their Facebook page, there's a link to purchase tickets. And it looks like there's a deadline on the 4th, it says, on this posting.
Yes, I believe they said that tickets are only available through October 4th.
Yep, that's what it says. So get those tickets early and be part of a great night again over at the Great Dane. Well, coming up, we're going to be talking some Wisconsin sports. Again, going to do a little celebrating because the Brewers have won the National League Central.
Yay.
And I was there right from the start saying they're going to do it. Paul Mickley was saying that, nope, somebody's going to catch them at the end, the Reds or the Pirates. Or the Cubs or the Cardinals. And I said, no. And I put a pizza on it. Mm-hmm. And this week the Brewers clinched it. And we're going to wait for Mickley to come in here. And I'm going to announce that I am the winner of our pizza bet and see what he has to say about that. So that's going to be coming up. We'll talk about the Packers getting set. We'll talk a little talk about Rodgers. I'm curious what his thoughts are and whether or not he thinks Rodgers is going to take the Jets towards the top of the AFC as well. And talk a little bit about what we saw with the Badgers last week, see what he thinks about that game against Alabama, and now looking ahead towards a tough Big Ten conference schedule that begins a week from tomorrow at USC. So plenty to talk about with the head football coach of Newman Catholic as he's getting set himself for a game tomorrow afternoon when the Cardinals take on Marion Tigerton right here on 98.9 WXCO. But coming up next, it will be Paul Micklig in our weekly Wisconsin sports segment here on the Chad Holmes Show on 98.9 WXCO. And welcome back, Chad Holmes Show, 98.9 WXCO, BowFallsRadio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. Boy, in the last few minutes, the sun has just popped through after all those clouds are around. I think because Paul Micklig was making his way over from Newman Catholic here to our studios in downtown Wausau for our Friday chat about Wisconsin sports.
You know why? Because we talk about, the sun comes up it doesn't matter what happens the day before, right?
Indeed,
The sun always comes up, and The sun came up after a stormy night, and that's the great thing about life, isn't it, Chad?
It was real funny. I mean, because I, you know, you're always hanging around at Newman as well, and I'm around doing things. And last night I was doing a volleyball game at West. It was the loudest thunder I've ever heard. You know, I've been in those buildings right across the street from each other. That lightning strike must have been pretty darn close to both Newman and Wausau West last night. That's my first thought. I was like, holy cow, that it shook me out of my seat. It was so loud. But
yeah, they're pretty close. I mean, yeah. I know you're doing the game, and I think I was going home about 8:30, and that lightning strikes, they were that was a show out there. I mean, they were pretty close.
Absolutely. But we got to talk about the headline news. Headlines.
Chad Holmes. Is this what you're saying?
I was wishing that I could have been down in Milwaukee to be part of the celebration.
I thought you were.
I could have been celebrating with the Brewers because I was there with them all the way. All the way, unlike you, who bet against them, who said the Reds and the Pirates and the Cardinals and the Cubs, somebody was going to come and beat them. And nope, I said Brewers all the way.
But you know what the great thing is, Chad? I lost that bet.
Yeah. But
won. I watched the whole celebration, so I still won. That's called betting, when you know you're going
to
win.
And the thing about it is, I have to give you credit on that, is when you do make these bets, so often you put yourself in a position where you are a winner either way.
Wait, because it was awesome to watch that.
And the thing about it as well, you're going to be a winner because...
I'm going to eat some of it.
You're going to, exactly. I'm going to eat some of it. I mean, I could say, oh, no, it's all, no, but my heart is as big as all outdoors, as you well know. So we're going to be sharing my bounty of winning pizza, which I savor because so often I rarely get that. I'm usually the one.
The other
way.
That pizza is going to taste real good tomorrow.
And the thing about it is it still doesn't make up for that night in Milwaukee when Chris Carter hit a home run. What was it, like 6-1 odds? I said, well, I gave you odds and you took it. And then this guy hits
a home run.
It was the most insane thing I've ever seen in my life. You betting on a guy hitting a home run and then he hit the home run. I mean, it was like... I will never forget that one. And it's like I was paying off those pizzas for a very long time after that.
We'll pay that pizza up, and it's a happy pay up tomorrow.
Exactly.
So. But the celebration was they looked like they celebrated a little too much because with yesterday's performance.
Yeah.
But that was kind of bound to happen, I would assume.
It's kind of, again, you should never say never, but now with 9 games to go and 3 games behind both Philly and the Dodgers, it looks like they're going to be in that wild card round again.
Which means then, you know, at what point do you start getting your, you know, pitching in line? So, I mean, when do you start? I mean, because you got to be ready to go. So how far along do you go here and try to keep on playing? And then where do you start bringing guys that you're not counting on in the playoffs to get those innings?
I think when they get off the field Sunday, they're going to know exactly what they need to do. I have a hard time thinking, number one, they're going to beat Arizona 3 times in a row. And I think if you don't, I'm assuming that.
They almost did last weekend.
But I just don't think they will. I think they're still a pretty good baseball team.
Arizona?
Yes.
Yeah. They're a really good baseball team.
We saw it last year.
Now, the question lies is...
And you're right. I mean,
this is the weekend because...
Every time I say something like that, then they come in and sweep the series.
Yeah.
They've done that.
Yeah. Well, they can't sweep the series.
But I mean, sweep the weekend.
Yeah. The Mets and the Philly play.
Yes, they
do. So after that, Philly doesn't play anybody. So unless the Mets... sweep them,
right.
That, which could happen. I'm not saying, even though I think Philly took 2 out of 3 last weekend too, but if they take all 3 and the Brewers can win 2 out of 3 and then you're only a game behind, but if that doesn't happen, I think you start, Philly's not going to lose after that.
Right. No, I agree with that. Any idea who they're going to be, who's the worst wild card right now in the NL?
The Mets overtook the...
They're the last one. Okay. Boy, that's not an easy one. There's not going to be an easy one.
Doesn't matter. No, I mean, that's why I was... it's kind of important to try to get that by.
As long as there's a chance. Yeah. But again,
but there's not... I mean, I don't think there's a chance. Now.
No, I don't think there is either. But it's like you can't wave the white flag quite... Well, I mean, but again, I think they're already thinking about it. Just the fact that they said, okay, Willie, you got to take a break. 152 games in a row he had played. And then he did not start yesterday.
Correct.
So they're thinking about this pretty significantly. So, again, they're going to win
you
more
think,
than
that. You think they're thinking about it?
I think they're thinking about
it.
I'm going off on a deep end here. Real fast. Ohtani. That's a big thing, I think. 50-50. I just thought that's... I thought it was cool. I mean, I'm not a big Dodger fan, obviously, but 50 home runs and 50 stolen bases. I mean, that's historic. I mean, to see somebody that's at that level, just amazing.
Yeah. I mean, I guess it makes you think, is Chirio, does he have that capability of doing that? You know, I mean, I
don't know if anybody else has 50-50 in them, though.
I mean, maybe not 50-50, but
about
30-40.
Yeah, because I think it was Jose Canseco was the first one who did 40-40 back when I was, like, in high school. And I think that, you know, I think Chirio puts it all together. I mean, yeah, I think in this era that they're starting to run, I think, a little bit more. I think for a while there, nobody was running anymore. I think now we're seeing a few more stolen bases generally.
Yeah, overall, and yeah, especially
so,
the Brewers.
Right, so I just think that nowadays, I think that is possible. Let's not jinx them, though.
Well, I'm just trying to think of, like that's what the Brewers are facing is...
They have to manufacture things, right?
Yeah, I mean, these other teams have the pieces.
Superstar pieces.
Yeah, and the Brewers... But I think Chirio has the opportunity to do that, though. But
I do, too.
The thing is, that's not going to help for, you know, 2 weeks from now.
Well, maybe it will. He'll turn into a 40-40 guy in the next 2 weeks. Be optimistic.
That sun is coming up. Chad's in a good mood. That's a great... I like that attitude.
We're going to come back more with Paul McLeague in just a few moments here on 98.9 WXCO.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
And welcome back. Chad Holmes Show, 98.9 WXCO, BowFallsRadio.com. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. Talking Wisconsin sports with Paul McLeague. And I was wrong about the Badgers last week. I thought they were going to be much closer than they were against Alabama in the end, 42-10. But it is interesting when you think, and you as a coach, I'm sure see this all the time, where certain plays kind of, they're there, and then if you don't take advantage, the whole game kind of switches. And I thought at the end of the first half in the Badgers, and I know that you had told me, oh, they should have ran the football, but they threw the football to the end zone. The play was there. If the quarterback drops it in their lock instead of not scoring and then letting Alabama score, and all of a sudden you're multi-score down, it could have been 14-10 late in the first half. I mean, there is a thin line in these games, isn't there?
Yeah, I mean, locks back quarterback, I don't care how you slice it, all right? Okay.
Yep.
You're asking against the number four team in the nation,
right,
a backup quarterback,
right,
to throw a dime.
Yes.
Okay. I was just okay.
That is all true.
But the thing is, though, it's not there if it's not completed. I just love coaches that go in there and myself included, probably. Well, it's there.
I will say yes, you included.
Yes. I said yes, me included.
Maybe. No, I will say for certain you included. Okay. I've been there. I have seen that.
Where we go, it's there. It looks like it's a good game, and it's not there. You know what? It's only there. If you make the play.
If you make the play. You're right.
And I know that, you know, there's other routes in that play call.
And you are exactly right when you think about it in terms of you got two plays to gain 3 yards.
Well, I didn't say that
they
had to run it.
No.
I'm saying is that I guess I could have.
But my point was
there is 43 seconds left. They could have ran off 10 seconds because Alabama had the injury.
You're right.
So it could have went down to 33 seconds. Now, it only took them 24 seconds to score, so it wouldn't have mattered because they would have still scored, but most likely. But if you think that ball was going to go to the end zone, why wouldn't you have taken that? Why wouldn't you have taken it? Because they would have scored a touchdown or they were going to kick a field goal.
Well, that's something that I know that you think about a lot, and I think that's something that we notice a lot, by whether it's at the high school level, the college level, or the NFL level, is that you have to be thinking beyond that moment. And that proved that the Badgers sideline with these high-priced coaches weren't thinking. You know,
is there a lack of or a connection between the head coach and the offense coordinator? Because in that situation, Luke Fickell probably canceled the 10 seconds, said, nope, we'll keep 10 seconds, thinking
they're going to run the ball.
That they might run the ball.
Right.
Do you know what I'm saying? Or maybe throw a short pass and try to get the first down. So they were trying to save seconds for the offense. There had to be. You can't tell me there's not a disconnect. Right. There wasn't a disconnect.
That's the right word, maybe. Not thinking, maybe a little too cruel.
Yep.
A disconnect. By the way, I was thinking about this. Last season, the name that would bring up, you know, a lot of people's blood pressure when it came to football in the state of Wisconsin was Joe Barry. Are we getting to the point where Phil Longo is going to be the next Joe Barry pretty soon? Where people are saying, this guy's got to go.
Well, they're gonna have to jump on something, because that's what we as fans do, isn't it?
But he could be the next Joe Barry, because I don't think people are very thrilled with what they're getting. Because, and again, I'll put myself in the camp that this Wisconsin team does not seem to know what they want to be. Because if it's a Longo offense, that's not what we're really seeing. If it's a Fickell, he's talked about being more tough,
physical.
It's not really that either. You got to make up your mind. What do you want to be? And if it's not Phil Longo's offense, what are we doing here?
What are we? I mean, I think that's – now they're going to say that they don't have their guys, I guess. And, you know,
that's a cop-out in this era, because nowadays it's almost – I mean, it's easier to rebuild a college program than an NFL program, because basically it's total free agency.
Well, especially since – two of those receivers, I think Paulin, he's one of them, who's fantastic.
Yep.
He was a transfer. And then they have Bryson on the outside from Oklahoma State, the guy from Oklahoma State. So he's from, you know what I'm saying? So these guys are transfer guys.
Real fast, because you mentioned Oklahoma. I mean, if you look at that Wisconsin roster, you see a lot of big-time college football program transfers coming in. Not many of them are really proven to be all that great. I think we're learning something that there are reasons why a lot of these guys are moving around a lot.
Yeah, they're not Russell Wilson.
It just feels as though, I mean, back then it was a lot. I mean, back then we never really heard about that often. Even the fifth year transfer, Russell Wilson, I think, was one of the early ones where, hey, this is something you can use to try to fill in a hole here for 1 year. Now it seems like it's all 1 year gap filling, and I don't think it's really working that well for not just Wisconsin, but for a number of other programs as well. Of course, it does work in some areas, but I mean, that's how Colorado kind of built their program, and they won 4 games last year.
Yep.
It's easier said than done. It's not really fantasy football, is it? I mean, sometimes it's being played like, hey, well, just plop this guy in, and all of a sudden we're going to turn things around. And
did the guy from last year, did he make a team, NFL team?
Matt Mordecai, you mean?
Yeah.
I have no idea.
I don't know either. I'm guessing, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, the whole reason he came.
Was like, this guy is going to be a top-notch. When you look at the tiers of quarterbacks, he was going to be in that top tier, right?
That's what his hope was.
Right, exactly.
And I'm going to take a guess that was the same thing with this year's guy, and now he's out. I mean, so you're right. I mean, they're not quite working out.
Thinking that's okay, big picture things, and I just wonder if the way the Badgers had built their and frankly, I mean, when you talk about, oh, they don't have the right players. Well, if you look going back to the last few years of the Crist era, they had some of the, again, these rankings are all subjective. And again, there's just subjective, you know, rankings in terms of recruiting. They had some of the highest recruiting rankings they ever had. It just felt like they went away from the recipe that was so successful for so many years, and it's not really working at this point.
Well, I mean, if you look at it, Alabama's quarterback was a 4-star, supposedly. I mean, and Locke's a 4-star.
Can we start a
Who was better?
Can we start a recruiting service and just throw out, hey, this guy's a four star? Because sometimes it feels like that, doesn't it?
I mean, right? There's a pretty big difference on Saturday, wasn't there?
Well, there was a huge difference.
I mean,
was very impressive. I mean, I don't need to be an expert to say he was pretty darn impressive.
Yes. I mean, and so that's why I don't think he's fine. You're not going to beat somebody. This is not one of those where I'll beat my guys with your guys. This is where my guys are a lot better than your guys, and we're going to show it. And because they're playing the same style. Now, if you get into a system side, I don't know if I'll win with my guys against your guys because my guys fit in my system.
Right. And that's what Wisconsin always did so well.
And that's why they were always competitive, because it was their system.
And they also had coaches that lifted them up. And I think that's underestimated sometimes. I'm not saying that this staff is either good or bad at this point. I think they deserve more time. But we knew that Alvarez and the guys that he had on that staff, who ended up being head coaches and impressing in multiple areas, you knew those guys could get the maximum out of those players within Correct. Their system.
And the disappointing thing, and I said this last year, Chad, to you, and I've said it probably 100 times since, the problem in my mind was last year was there for the taking, not because they had the talent, but the schedule.
Yep.
When that schedule, and they couldn't do it against that schedule, you knew, you had to know they're going against the schedule. Everybody had to know that this is going to be rough. This is going to be rough. If anybody thinks that they were going to be 10-2,
a winning record in a bowl game is a successful season.
And that's what it's going to be for, I think, for a while.
Yeah. Because
maybe forever.
It's one of the things. You get this super conference, you better have a super team, because you're going to have to go through a lot of gauntlets to get back to a Rose Bowl or whatever they do nowadays.
And the thing is, it's about depth, too, because,
right.
Okay, they have so much more depth. Well, what happens when we just lost our quarterback now? Okay, now we're in second. Okay, so you have to get through that gauntlet and still stay healthy.
Yeah. And it's, as you've learned over the years, when you face better competition, it's much more difficult to stay healthy. It's that whole snowball thing.
Yep, and that's where they're at right now. So I'm my guess is down in Madison, it's not all roses down there.
Not roses. That's a good way of putting it. It used to be all roses.
Roses, yes, and it's not all roses. And that doesn't mean that, but I think people are going to have to accept some stuff too.
Right. It's not. I mean, I think that is a very good point to end it on. Packers, and talk about coaching. And you've been there so many times where you have to, have the ingredients and then try to figure out the best way to ultimately be successful in the Packers. I have to say, as an old-time football guy, I love to see 32 rushes out of Josh Jacobs last week. And they did a nice job, and that's a very, very good win. And I thought, again, Matt LaFleur and his staff obviously did a fantastic job.
That was the best coached game that I thought I saw that they have put together. That's just, again, my personal feeling of they knew what they had to do to win the game. And it goes back to the key moments, and some people might have said at the end of the half when they got the ball back that, hey, go for it. You're up 10-0, right, especially since you lost that touchdown. It could have been 17. And I thought they played that game absolutely perfect, besides the play calling, but the in-game decisions, when to do this, when to do that, was absolutely fabulous from an aspect of trying to be conservative. You had to be conservative and you had to play like that. But you know what? Sometimes you got to do that. Sometimes you got to do that's what makes, I think, coaching coaches really special, is when they can adapt and change what they want to do for what they have and how they're going to maximize everything for that day. And I thought they did that.
And I don't recall him spending any time waving his arms at the crowd going. He was focused on
after that first touchdown. Did you see him?
Oh, I did not.
He wasn't doing that, but he was, I like it.
But the waving to get the crowd, come on, let somebody else take
care of that. He was busy.
That's what I'm saying. He was focused on the big stuff, and that's why, that's why he had did such a great job. My simplistic way of looking at it.
He did mention that, I think. He said, he goes, I couldn't get my arms, but I honestly, I have all, not that it matters, but but the respect that he did and what they did with their run game and mixing things up. You can't tell me that that stuff, a lot of that stuff was not put in. It might have been in a playbook somewhere. Yeah, I'm sure it was in somebody's playbook. but have you seen them run that kind of offense?
You know that on the flight back from Brazil, him and his offensive coaches were together saying, what are we going to do for that next game?
I mean, pulling it. And that's exactly. Man blocking. It wasn't zone. It was man blocking and guys pulling from the left, from the right, two guys pulling, three guys pulling. It was fun to see.
And they had the perfect running back for that, too. You know, bringing in Josh Jacobs for that game. That's not why they brought him in, obviously.
Correct.
But he is the kind of guy that was perfect for that game, wasn't he?
Yeah. I mean, you don't want to, I don't think, probably.
Aaron Jones could not have
often.
Done that.
No.
I mean, Aaron Jones does a lot of wonderful things. I mean, he's doing a nice job with Minnesota. But that's, you needed a Josh Jacobs for that week. And they fortunately had a Josh Jacobs for that week.
Which, I mean, that's hopefully it was 1 week. The reality of it is that this is the NFL. You know what they say. Not for long. Yep. That game plan, they're going to have to adjust that game plan if that's who they're going with.
Real quick, this week, Tennessee on the road. What's your feel?
You think he's playing?
I don't think so. I think there's a chance, but I don't think he starts. You're talking about Love,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, but what do you mean he's not going to start?
I don't think he's going to start.
But he's going to be activated?
Maybe.
Okay, that would be interesting.
Well, I mean, have him there just in case. You'd like to get another week out of it. I mean, that's a real quick turnaround for that sprained ligament, isn't it?
Hey.
All right.
Put them out there. My point being is, if they lose to Tennessee, they're 1-2. Minnesota's coming in.
Yeah.
Minnesota could be, and they beat them for some reason, 4-0. They could have a three-game lead, technically a four-game lead after four games.
And then you're hoping for Minnesota to fall apart, and I don't know if they're going to. They look pretty good.
They look pretty good.
Thank you very much.
Chad, you have a great weekend.
I'll enjoy the pizza tomorrow. And welcome back. Chad Holmes Show, 98.9 WXCO, online at BowFallsRadio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa. It is Friday, September the 20th of 2024. That means it is day number 264 this year. Mm-hmm. There are 102 days remaining in the year. So when we come back on Monday, there'll be less than 100 days to go.
It'll probably be 99. Oh,
because tomorrow will be 101, and then Sunday will be 100.
Man.
And then it will be 99.
Double digits already.
All right. Well, there's been a lot of famous events that have occurred on this date in history. As I dig it out here on my computer. On this date in 1891. The first gasoline-powered car debuted in Springfield, Massachusetts. On this date in 1969, John Lennon left the Beatles. On this date in 1973, Billie Jean King beat Bobby Riggs in a Battle of the Sexes tennis match at the Houston Astrodome in Houston, Texas. On this date in 2010, a man named Leonard Skinner, he was a gym teacher, and the namesake for the band Leonard Skinner. Well, Leonard Skinner died on this date in 2010 in Jacksonville, Florida. On this date in 2013, Grand Theft Auto became the fastest video game to reach $1 billion in sales. On this date in 2021, a first edition of Mary Shelley's 1818 novel Frankenstein sold for $1.17 million, setting a new world record for a printed work by a woman. And on this date in 2022, Meta CEO Mark Zuckerberg's net worth was reported to have plummeted by $70 billion so far that year, bumping him down to only the 20th richest person in the world. Can you imagine losing $70 billion and still not having to worry about money?
No, I cannot.
Some famous people are celebrating their birthdays today. Actor Sophia Loren is 90 years old today. Author George R.R. Martin of A Game of Thrones is 76. George R.R. Martin's written other things as well, right? Or not? It's just Game of Thrones. Maybe actually, R.R. I was confused with J.R.R. Tolkien or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
So George R.R. Martin. What is it with these guys and their multiple middle initials? But
I have no idea.
He turned 76. Actor Gary Cole of Office Space is 68. Kristen Johnson of Third Rock from the Sun turns 58. Moon Bloodgood of Falling Skies is 49 years old today. And singer Philip Phillips of American Idol fame is 34 years old today. And if you're out there celebrating your birthday, happy birthday to you from all of us at 98.9 WXCO. Some special events being acknowledged today. It is Bakery Day. It is POW MIA Recognition Day. It is Fried Rice Day. It is Care for the Kids Day. It is Gibberish Day. It is LGBTQ Veterans Day. It is Punch Day. It is Concussion Awareness Day. It is World Paella Day. It is Tradesman Day. It is Pepperoni Pizza Day.
Oh, yes.
And it is String Cheese Day.
So speaking of pizza, yeah.
Yep, so there you go.
And you should get yourself a pepperoni pizza after this because you won that bet.
There you go. So that makes me hungry already.
Me too.
Well, we are ready to wrap up the week with our final number of the day quiz with Ian Welsh.
Yes, I do not know what the topic is.
No, we never got to it today.
A surprise completely. For everyone.
But you are 2 for 4 this week, so you have passed. It will not be a failure of a week, but it's a true winning week. You get more right than wrong.
Absolutely.
So today, you try to get 3 out of 5. So again, not real pressure, but a little bit of pressure. I know, because you have a passing grade.
You always want to try to improve as much as you can.
Yeah, you don't want to just be an average student. You want to
be
a great
student.
Average. Exactly. All right. Our topic is Cal Ripken Jr., the baseball player. Hmm. All right. On this day, September the 20th of 1998, Cal Ripken Jr. of the Baltimore Orioles took a day off. He had set a record for Major League Baseball in playing in how many consecutive games?
Oh, jeez.
He had broken Lou Gehrig's Iron Man streak, and then he continued on and on and on. And he ended up with what number of games played in a row before he said, I need a day off?
Wow.
Was the correct, what is the number? The correct number, is it 2,332 games?
Wow.
Is it 2,632 games? Is it 2,932 games?
So, well, at least they're all in the 2,000 range.
2,332, 2,632, 2,932. So how many games in a row did Cal Ripken Jr. play before taking a day off 26 years ago today?
Okay, I'm going with my gut here. I'm going to say, I'm going to go with A. I'm going to go with the lowest number for today. It's my final answer. I'm going with A.
All right, the correct answer, Cal Ripken Jr. of the Baltimore Orioles took a day off on September the 20th of 1998 after playing a record 2,632 consecutive games.
The middle number.
You're Mr. Middle Number. And this time, you didn't go with the middle number.
No, I did not.
Mom, it would be disappointed in you here.
Yeah, she will. But I still have a C.
Yeah, you got a passing grade this
solid
week.
Solid C.
Yeah, but that's the big thing. You passed.
Yeah, so next week I'll come back and hopefully
have a great weekend.
You too.
We got to go. Friday. See you Monday here on 98.9 WXCO.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.